You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
No other announcements. Go to the scripture reading. It's in Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. In the third month, when the children of Israel gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mount, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on the eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Okay. Well, it's good to see you here. Good to see Chris back. And we're keeping him in our prayers for his recovery. It's really great. There's always a hard road when you've had an operation, especially when you've been put out, completely out. That alone, just being put under where you're having to be given oxygen and everything else, that whole thing of putting the body out, that's a huge affront to the body. It takes a long time just to get over that. I can remember the same thing happening to me when I had to have my gallbladder removed. As a part of my life which is gone. I mean, it's just gone. It's just not there, you know. And it's a funny thing when you take this stuff that they inject into you, and the anesthetist will say to you something like this, well, 6 seconds and you'll be out. And you say, oh, yeah, you know, pumping the stuff in there. Boom! I mean, it's just gone. Just dark. Out. You know, Terminator. And then the next thing you know, some nurse is sort of tapping you on the face, wake up. And then that part of your life is just not there anymore. It's just a gap. It's a hole. And it's not filled with anything. Just your memory's gone of that. And, well, thank God you wake up. And all that stuff is done. And then you start to feel a little bit of pain in here and there from where you had your operation. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've got together to open the Scriptures and learn more about Thee and the Scriptures. We thank Thee for its preservation, that we can trust the Word of God. In the face of all kinds of confusion, we have the Scriptures to go to. And we thank Thee in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're up to part two, and I've changed the fonts a little bit, and hopefully things have blackened up a little bit, bit more dense in the fonts, and maybe we can get into this. Last time we introduced you with some questions. What do you think of these statements, I should say? So the statements and my questions, what do you think about them? And I think really the conclusions are kind of two-way. There's, like, for example, this one. We are not under the law, so we do not need to obey the law. Obey the law. See, on the one hand, if you look at the expression under the law, it has a certain context which Paul uses. And in that context, there is this idea that you're not under the law for righteousness. You can't gain righteousness to gain eternal life. Okay, and that's the context. And then I think what happens is people take that context and they put it into a different context to try and say that there's nothing that the law says to us at all or of any import about its constraint on how we live. And so, you know, we can go through all these statements, but hopefully you'll see that in those statements there are elements of truth, but the actual whole statement is incorrect. And this is a shocker for some people. I know some people are going to react to this and say, oh, we've always believed it this way. And okay, no problem. We're just going to be scriptural. We're going to try and find out what the scriptures say. And these passages are interesting because in these verses you find both grace and law mentioned. It's kind of unique that you could find these in the scriptures. And we will certainly be going through these as the series goes on. And we had this little reminder that, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. So, interesting, the word for law is nomos, and the word for lawfully is nomios. So, there's obviously provisions in the law for how we are to use the law. This is Paul speaking here to Timothy. You're not going to be able to say, well, Paul was speaking this during another age, not the age in which we live. No, that's not going to work here. So you're going to have to come to terms with what it means to use the law lawfully. And if you use it lawfully, you're going to find that this was part of the blessed gospel given to Paul. That is a shocker. That is a shocker when you come to really consider it. And then another passage here, and if a man also strive for mastery. Okay, you want to master something. Okay, and you want to work to have that happen. Then the crowning for the successful mastery only happens when you strive lawfully. Looks like there's always order. God always has order, and with the order, when there is the also taxonomic order. There's the structure. With order comes this taxonomy, and we'll look at that. In 1 Corinthians 10, you can see that there's prescription here for using grace in the right way. So it's interesting that while we don't have this, grace is good if it be used gracefully, nonetheless, the idea is actually in there, especially when you come to 1 Corinthians 10. Well, we won't go through it again because I went through it. But then comes, what I'm showing you are the salient points that must be considered to understand this topic. It is not simple, it is complex in some ways. And we want to bring some order and clarification to the complexity. That's what I'm really wanting to do. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now, when it says in ordinances, you can see here in dogmasi, that's the dogma. And these are often called decrees. There are many decrees you'll find in the scriptures. But you notice it says, even the law of commandments. Notice it says, having abolished. We need to understand this. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, what? Even the law of commandments. Now, where do you find these? Contained. They're contained in ordinances. So we've got to watch out what we do with the ordinances, because these things that are against us are contained in these ordinances, these dogma. Okay, so it's quite interesting for him to make in himself of twain one new man. Very important to see the creation of the one new man. And again, I'm showing you the usage of the decrees, and you can find that some of these decrees come from Caesar, right? There's a various dogma coming from Caesar about taxation, etc. And there's also decrees that came from the elders, the presbyteroi, that were in Jerusalem, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And we can see what the contents of those things were. But what we see in Colossians 2:14 is very interesting. Blotting out the handwriting. We need to explore the handwriting. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it. Notice the singular, which, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Singular concerning the handwriting. We need to look at that. This is quite, it's going to be quite a significant thing as we dig into this. And this business of, you know, coming to useless, it says here, from the basic sense, cause to be idle or useless. The term always denotes the non-physical destruction by means of a superior force coming to replace the force previously in effect. So this is the word here, abolish, you see. Katargeo. It's a very interesting idea. It has a very, very important context for us. And we will go through this and get it. And I'm just putting here the law of commandments. Looks like I changed the fonts without, you know, fixing things up here. But anyway, the law of commandments contained in these decrees. And so you got Acts 16:4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained. And as it says here, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. So the Holy Spirit's involved with this. Don't think of these decrees as just being from the elders and they did so under the flesh. No. The Holy Spirit is involved with this. You abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. We're going to look at this very carefully because Paul gets into this in his Acts epistles. Very much you'll find him addressing this and you get to understand the nature of these ordinances. It says here, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Notice it says, meats offered to idols, notice these four, and for blood, things strangled, fornication. And I ask the question, are these all against us? Are these things that are against us? And what we're going to discover is, the first thing you should always do in any context, when you're talking about understanding the scriptures, is first of all, get from the context what these ordinances must be. And you'll see so very, Paul is very clear in Colossians what these things are which are against us. And they are things related to Sabbath days. You know, Sabbath days. Yeah. So we'll come to that again. Grace and law, very important. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. This construction here is true grace. True grace came by Jesus Christ. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Fulfill. It's going to be very interesting to understand what is said about the law. And this is something that the Lord said that you need to really think about when it comes to the law. Look at this. Woe unto you, scribes, grammates, and Pharisees, hypocrites. Man, the Lord, when he wants to, he can just really call them out, can he? Just call a spade a spade. Hypocrites. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Of the law. Weightier matters of the law. These things are found as weightier matters of the law. They had this going through these procedural things, and they're very quick to pick out things that people did not procedurally do correct, but they miss something which the Lord calls weightier matters. Now look what they are. And it's of the law, right? Judgment. Mercy. And faith. All three of those are big with Paul. Big. Big time. Judgment. Mercy. Oh, see, mercy's in there. You mean mercy can be found as a weightier matter of the law? The Lord said so. Yes. Faith. Faith. Yes. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. In other words, there was some balance to understanding how the law was supposed to be implemented. And the scribes and the Pharisees got it all round the wrong way. and we're emphasizing the wrong stuff. Well, this is going to be very important. This is a very significant statement by the Lord about the weightier matters. Now, when you look at this word for law in the Hebrew, it's Torah. First use of Torah is just absolutely mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Why? Because look where it appears. Now you say, why is that mind-boggling? Because look, it's 26:5 of Genesis. This is pre-Sinai. This is pre-Moses. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, the Lord had revealed laws before the giving of the law at Sinai. That's just a matter of fact, my friends. So isn't that interesting? Law was pre-Sinai. It was there. I've given you, I don't mean to sort of give you all the verses where law is used, but I just want to show you how plentiful it is. There's 214 verses, 220 hits for where you will find Torah in the Old Testament. That's a lot, right? But look at this. This is the second use. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. One law. Doesn't matter whether the sojourner is not of your crowd or not. If they are dwelling with you, one law. Interesting, right? Notice the passage. This is before 19 and 20 of Exodus. Again, pre-Sinai. And you can come over here and see some more passages which relate to the law. So this is kind of interesting to me. And another question that I'm going to ask you. Do you think it's right to be without law? Well, there's a very special word for without law. It's called anomos. The alpha is privative. Anomos. You can see nomos is law and the ass is ah. No. Without law. That's what this word means. Without law. These are the passages where you will find this word. Without law. That's kind of interesting, friends. Because I must ask you this question. If you have an interpretation of grace that says to you that you are without law, then you must understand that you're putting yourself into a position where you're going to be called a certain name. And it's not a good name. I won't get into it just yet. The other thing I want to point out is that the moment you start looking at this word, you notice here I've got other Bible versions. You notice there's nothing written there? So Mark 15:28, all of a sudden you find that the modern Bibles don't seem to have that verse. Gonzo, man. Gonzo. Easy verse to remember. Nothing. This is the first verse you can remember without and speech it without saying anything. Mark 15:28. It's a very cool verse. Let's have a look at it. Let's go back into our Bibles to Mark 15. Mark 15 and verse 28. And we'll just read a little bit back to get some context. Verse 25. This is Mark 15:25. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. There is the word. To be without law. Anomos. Transgressors. You see, what we've got, I think, in some dispensational sections of our community is this idea that we are to be anomos. Without law. Getting a bit of a problem if you're really going to take this seriously. You're going to take that teaching seriously because you're going to be what the King James translates as transgressors. Do you want to be a transgressor? I don't think so. I don't think we want to be called transgressors. Now, Jesus, of course, because he was to become sin, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of him in Christ. Yeah, we can see that. Yeah. Because he as the lamb became the sacrifice. So yeah, he was numbered with the transgressors without participating in sin, right? So we can understand that. Notice that this verse is not in modern Bibles. And over here, what I've got is the Vatican, and it's missing. Now, there's something that you'll find in your companion Bibles, and it's in the Appendix 15, and it has to do with the law before Sinai. And in there, Bullinger brings up this particular stela. This stela, it's called the Code of Hammurabi. And in here is a listing of the laws that were extant in ancient Mesopotamia, around those area. And this was found in Susa. Very interesting. And so here is the companion Bible, and this is Appendix 15. And what he does is he goes through the existence of laws in the book of Genesis and Exodus, though there is no formal record of their delivery, the existence of laws in the book of Genesis and Exodus. Some were made known to mankind as such by God, for example, the law of the Sabbath. The law of the Sabbath, Genesis 2:3. The day is noted in connection with the flood, all Sabbaths except one, Genesis 8:5. It's exceedingly, to me, it's absolutely a fascinating study to realize that there are laws that were given before Moses, and some of those laws make it into the law of Moses. And it must have been that this communication of these laws were in some way taken by the various kings at that time, and some of these laws were put into the Code of Hammurabi. And this is kind of interesting here. I've got laws before Sinai. Here's a list of them. And what Bullinger does is he basically shows, you know, the offense, stealing, burglary, harboring a fugitive slave, injuring a rich man, injuring a poor man, injury followed by death to a rich man's daughter, injury followed by death to a poor man's daughter, etc. And what he does is he compares what God's law is as opposed to what you find in Hammurabi's law code. And what you find, generally speaking, in Hammurabi's law code is it's without mercy. It doesn't show much mercy in some places. And so we see these laws of Hammurabi operating in Genesis in the following instances. So he gives these instances where you can find these laws that are mentioned in the Code of Hammurabi in Genesis. It's really interesting. The law of adoption made Eliezer Abram's heir, etc. You find these things. The following is a list of 34 laws seen in force in Genesis, given by Jehovah, and subsequently confirmed in the Mosaic Law. So these are things that existed in Genesis, given by Jehovah, and then brought into the Law of Moses. These 34 laws. Fascinating, right? I won't go through them in detail. Just point them out. If you've got a companion Bible, check them out. Very interesting, right? That they are there. That you find these particular laws are put in place. Absolutely fascinating. So what we're going to do in our study is we're going to look at the fact that there's something needed by all people of God. Doesn't matter whether you're pre the law of Moses, during the law of Moses, or afterwards. That there is something fundamental that's a part of God's dealing with mankind and his requirement for mankind, which requires law. Now wait, you say, is there a word that is really important to us, that has law in it, that is absolutely essential? Yeah, I'll give it to you right now. Oikonomia. Dispensation. Even the word dispensation has, can you see the stem in there? Nom, nomos, oikonomia, household rule. To be able to function as someone who rightly divides the word of truth and understand dispensational truth, you're going to have to come to terms with a fundamental idea of rule, the household rule. Okay, well, we're starting to get somewhere in this study. And the next time we come, we're going to start digging deeper into this whole matter. Okay, I think it's going to be a cool study, probably one of our more important studies. We're going to get some principles out of the whole Bible. And wouldn't it be fantastic, for example, that we can get these principles by going to the Old Testament and getting principles out of here that relate to these weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. That'd be cool. Have you wondered why in Ephesians, and Paul will talk about that you should come bringing a psalm? A psalm. Right? Spiritual songs. These psalms, if you look at the Psalms, a lot of them has to do with Israel and things pertaining to when God was dealing with Israel. Well, you see, if you see the weightier matters of the law, these things are going to work. They're going to apply to us. Okay, so you can see that we're opening up something that's going to be fascinating, I think, and something that perhaps we've missed along the way. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today for this message, Lord, that yes, there is a law that is important, that has ceremonial parts related to prophetical things to do specifically with Israel, but there's also the weightier matters of judgment, mercy, and faith. Lord, we ask that You would give us wisdom as we go through these teachings from the Scriptures. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.